Russia is bouncing back economically, and it's defeated U.S., EU, and NATO sanctions. And how has it done this? Because the opinion of the neocons, the warmongers, the collective West was that the most important front of this war was never the battlefield for them. They did not, as much as there is this unhinged class of warmongering sycophants within the Pentagon, the CIA, these forces exist. And the neocons certainly wouldn't mind a shooting war with Russia. But that was never the objective at this time. The objective was to achieve the demise of Russia, the destabilization of Russia, the destruction of Russia by other means. That's why it's a proxy war, because the military conflict is just one part of the overall assault. The other part of it is, or one huge part of it, is the economic war, the sanctions regime. So immediately after Russia launched a special military operation February 24th, 2022, we're rapidly reaching the one-year point of this. Immediately after that, the U.S., the EU, they seized Russian assets, central bank assets, foreign currency reserves, seized them, stole it, right? All of the U.S. dollars that Russia was holding, gone. The United States said, it's ours now. Straight up theft. They did it to Afghanistan too. Did it in the UK, did it to Venezuela. You know, they do, this is what they do. And so the sanctions regime was so intense that Russia became the most sanctioned country in the world. And it still is the most sanctioned country in the world. And so the idea here was, is if you sanctioned Russia to the point where it is completely isolated from Western finance, from U.S. and Western finance, if you can isolate its economy, then Russia will be destabilized. Its population will starve. There will be massive unrest. And the internal political regime in Russia will not be able to stand. That's the whole point of sanctions in general. But here, the hope was that if you can just level them to the degree where Russia can't breathe, then Russia will fall. It was completely and utterly a miscalculation. The collective West, United States, they miscalculated. And what they miscalculated on was how Russia has been preparing for this for a long time, arguably since 2014. Russia has been sanctioned by the United States and by the EU and by, you know, NATO forces for a while now, the U.S. especially. After the coup in 2014, after Crimea voted to become part of the Russian Federation, the United States has time and time again increased and escalated its sanctions regime. Of course, it wasn't as significant as it is now, but it was building up and Russia was preparing. And so the reason why Russia's gone out of this is actually not rocket science. It's not hugely difficult to understand. It's not something, you don't need a degree in political economy to understand this. You don't need to be a Marxist or a political economist or just an economist in general at all. All you need to know, and I'm going to get into an article that goes over this, is that what Russia did is that it decided, okay, well, if you're going to cut us off from Western finance, well, we are going to increase our own capital investment. We're going to ensure that the government supports its businesses, that the government supports Russia's businesses, and that these businesses are going to restructure themselves in order to meet the new reality, which is that certain markets are cut off, dollars are not plentiful. There's got to be other ways to get what you need, to get the investment that you need, to get the capital expenditure that you need. And so Russia has been basically creating a resource nationalist economy where its commodities and its resources are poured into its money. And then we're going to get into this, the de-dollarization, the currency reserves of others, that What it has been invested into the real economy, into the national economy, in order to support the stability of not just the Russian currency, the ruble, but also the entire society, right? To ensure that there isn't massive job losses, that inflation isn't crippling to the point where people are unable to survive, right? Really, Russia has turned inward in a way that supports its national economy and takes what it has, which is rich in natural resources, rich in raw materials, and also the capacity to work with countries that aren't in favor of the sanctions regime in order to support Russia's real economy, not the banking economy, although Russia's central bank has played a huge role in investing in the real economy. So that's how it did it. Unlike the United States, which what has happened in the United States, the United States isn't under sanctions, but it sure is a neoliberal economy, an austerity-based economy. What the United States does is its central bank, its Federal Reserve Bank, pumps out currency to then allow these huge financial institutions, these banks, essentially do whatever they want with it. And it's usually not to invest in the real economy. It's to enrich themselves, to take part in financial schemes that will increase their profits, that will increase their dividends and their shares, all of it. That's what they do. And they actually then pursue monetary and financial policies, economic policies, which plunder and loot the real economy, right? That's what happens in the United States, and it happens in the collective West. And so the United States in the collective West, of course, can't really understand what Russia is doing. They couldn't predict it because they don't understand what it means for an economy to serve the national interest here. And that's what Russia has done in response to the sanctions. And here is what I mean. So according to Bloomberg, and this was reported yesterday, record investment helped Russia survive sanctions. Domestic companies have been boosting capital spending to adjust to new economic realities. So when you think about this, most companies don't want to boost capital spending because boosting capital spending, especially in an era of monopoly, means that you might not get the same returns. You may not actually make super profits or mega profits. But here, the new reality is survival and ensuring that you exist another day because you actually don't have the international financial system to lean on. So Russia has weathered Ukraine-related Western sanctions by boosting investment in domestic production in new supply routes, Bloomberg reported on Wednesday, citing statistics and analysts. According to the report, capital expenditure rose 6% last year, while many economists expected it to drop by 20% shortly after the Ukraine conflict broke out. The Bank of Russia said in a recent report that most Russian businesses either increased investment in 2022 or kept it at the same level as in the previous year. As a result, output shrank by merely 2%, much lower than economists predicted when the latest sanctions were first introduced. The restrictions have left Russia cut off from many imports, and Russian companies were forced to either boost spending or replace now unavailable foreign equipment and software or invest into setting up new routes to secure supplies from alternative markets. 4 out of 5 of the most capital-intensive sectors of the Russian economy increased investment spending, including transportation, mining, real estate, science, and technology, according to the Federal Statistics Reserve. One of the country's biggest steelmakers, Severstal, shifted investment away from projects that were at risk due to disruptions to sanctions and is currently investing in domestically produced information technologies for the metals industry. Major banks like Sabre and VTB are also investing to replace foreign software. Last month, reports emerged that the lenders plan to start issuing stickers containing near-field communication chips to replace foreign contactless payment services like Apple Pay and Google Pay, which no longer work in Russia. The volume of investments in commercial real estate last year hit historic highs of 487.2 billion rubles or $6.8 million, 21% higher than 2021, according to a study by real estate firm NF Group. The volume of investments was record-breaking, with a minimal share of foreign capital Russian investors are becoming owners of the vast majority of premium properties in various segments, and this trend is likely to continue as outgoing companies sell all their assets. Gas and oil producers, meanwhile, also boosting spending on either transport infrastructure or to fund a reorientation of exports from the West. This trend should support fixed investment in the years to come, Tatiana Orlova of Oxford Economics told Bloomberg. Many businesses also profited from government grants and programs supporting import substitution. According to Rosstat, state financing was among the biggest sources of capital expenditure, some 17.8%. So you hear that? Government spending. So here you have Russia's government saying, we don't have the foreign currency reserves, the US dollars. We can't participate in this international financial system like we could before. So the government is going to step in. We're going to ensure increased capital spending. We're going to ensure that companies are not only able to survive, but are able to then look toward other routes to be able to grow and to be able to develop and to be able to do what they do, which is produce materials like steel, which is to produce real estate, which is to produce the commodities that the country needs, the people needs, the economy needs to not just stay afloat, but also to grow. And we're going to get into that in a second. Difficult times will pass. Projects will remain. They are long term. So we aren't stopping anything, said Sergei Yachukov, head of the Mangazeya Group, a diversified company whose main activities are gold mining, construction, and development, told a news outlet. He noted that the future company sees it as a necessary move forward and invests in for the future. So again, domestic spending. Russia has said, okay, you're going to cut us off from the dollars. You're going to steal our currency reserves. You're going to sanction us away from the international economy. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to focus on Russia's real economy. The government's going to step in. Capital expenditure is going to be increased. We're going to increase the capital that we spend to ensure that we can continue these industries, that they don't fall apart, that they don't end up collapsing under the weight of economic starvation, which is what sanctions are. So all of this is to say is that these policies, right, this economic resource nationalism, this ability to reorient Russia's economy to domestic production so that it can find alternative routes to truly also continue linking its economy to the world, because it's still very important, right? This is not necessarily globalization. That has become a very loaded political term, but no country can stand on its own, right? No country can actually exist. No country has everything that it needs. That's why it's so important for a multipolar world to develop, where bilateral, multilateral relationships can serve the domestic and national interests of each sovereign country. That's a huge, important step in a more peaceful world. And so Russia is very serious about this as well. That's why Russia did this, so that it can find alternative routes. It can find alternative means, including de-dollarization, which again, we will get to. But I want to talk about the IMF projections, because it shows that Russia indeed defeat the sanctions regime. And of course, Russia is not growing at 2, 4, 10% per year. That's not what the projection shows, but no country is, because the entire world economy has suffered mightily. That's why there's de-dollarization. That's why de-dollarization is happening, because the US dollar has become a weapon. International finance has become a weapon. Western finance has become a weapon against the sovereignty and the economic development of the countries in question, of basically the entire global South, but Russia, China, and all of its allies included, Russia in Africa, in Asia, wherever the US dollar has been a wrecking ball on the economy, because it is a expression of US and collective West imperial interests. It's not an expression of the free market or anything like that, or any kind of economic liberalism or whatever boneheaded theory comes out of collective West and US academia. It's none of that. It is merely a tool and a weapon now to destroy other nations. And so that's why there's de-dollarization. But Nonetheless, this attempt on Russia to destroy them, to destroy Russia, destroy the Russian economy, to overthrow Vladimir Putin, to starve Russia, that has failed. That has failed. And it has failed monumentally. And let me show you the IMF's projected growth numbers to just show you how much it has failed, okay? So here you have the inflation. It's a little cut off here, it seems. Do I have to? I don't want to shrink it. No, it's just cut off. This website is not good. So anyway, this was released in January 2023 about inflation. This is what's important, the overview here of the report. So the IMF came out with its projections for growth in 2023 and 2024. And here, I just want to go down to the tables because we don't have to read all that stuff. It's not really that exciting. Let me just zoom in to the projected. Here we go. That's big enough now. So this is the World Economic Outlook. This is what the IMF is saying. And the outlook, let's just go to Russia first. All right. Here we go. Russia. This is 2023, mind you. You see that? Projections. 2023, Russia, 0.3% increase. So Russia's economy in 2023, despite being the most sanctioned country in the world for all of 2022, essentially, since late February, March, is going to grow. It's not huge growth, but it's growth nonetheless. Any country in a global economic situation like the world is in, the United States and the collective West tanking the global economy in order to wage a proxy war, a dirty war on Russia, any country that can boast that, given the situation that Russia is in, would say that's a victory over the sanctions. That is a victory over the sanctions. There's no doubt about that. So despite shrinking a bit in 2022, it is going to grow this year. That's a huge shift. Now let's look at the United States and Europe and what they call the Euro area. So the U.S. is projected to grow 1.4%. Honestly, measly, very small, given how the United States has basically plundered Europe in order to wage this proxy war. It's very small. It's not impressive. 1.4% demonstrates the U.S. has significant economic problems. But look at the rest of the Euro. Look at Germany. Do you think about this? Russia is going to grow faster than Germany this year. That should blow your mind. And of course, the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline has a lot to do with that because Russia was supplying more than half of Germany's natural gas. So German industry has completely collapsed. The economy is in disarray and it is in full-blown recession and it's not even going, that's negative growth. Let's be honest here. That is a positive, who even knows if it's going to grow that much? Because I've heard projections of maybe negative 0.3%, right? So there's a range here in Germany, according to the IMF, is only going to grow by 0.1%. And here you have Italy, France, Spain. Look at the United Kingdom, negative 0.6% growth, negative growth, right? So you have all across the collective West, stagnant and or negative growth, zero growth, while Russia, despite being the most sanctioned country in the world, is going to grow faster than Germany. And of course, the fastest growing economies this year, surprise, surprise, India and China, 5.2% for China, 6.1% for India. And actually the growth for China has become more optimistic of late as China undoes its strict COVID-19 measures. Now China, I think, is over 6%, 6% or more. These are all projections, of course. They are subject to change. And who knows, Russia's projections may get more positive. Germany, unlikely, given that Germany hasn't done it. There's nothing Germany can really do to recover from the fact that it has cut off one of its most important economic partners in Russia. But that's the landscape here. Russia has defeated the sanctions. Russia has successfully reoriented and restructured its economy to ensure that its economic growth is guaranteed despite being, again, the most sanctioned country in the world. That's a huge deal because it shows that these sanctions are not foolproof. They are not bulletproof. They are not weapons that necessarily will lead always to victory. The United States and the EU have failed in their objective in this economic war, and that is one of the most significant, if not the most significant part of this conflict. The most significant part of this conflict is arguably the economic war, because as you see on the battlefield right now, The United States and NATO does not have the capacity to fight this on the battlefield. Either they risk nuclear exchange through further escalation, or they continue cosplaying weapons transfers to Ukraine as if that's going to do anything, while ignoring the reality that most of these weapons will never even reach the battlefield. And even if they did, Russia's prepared to shoot them down. So you see now the full picture here. The economic war isn't working. The propaganda war, let's be honest, the collective West has been there. The brains of people in the collective West have been massaged for year after year after year. Of course, the propaganda war is going to be relatively effective. Of course, you have many people in the U.S., across Europe, very anti-Russia at the moment. These NATO statelets like Latvia, Poland, right? You have huge anti-Russia sentiment, sure. However, that propaganda war cannot make up for the deficits in other areas. That's why it's been so significant for Russia to defeat the sanctions war, the economic war, because it means that Russia is prevailing in the overall scheme of the conflict. That's not even to count the fact that it is ready to, it has even sent its 200, 300,000 partial mobilization to the front lines yet. So that's how optimistic Russia should be. Russia is very optimistic right now about its situation because it has made immense gains in defeating the sanctions regime and defeating the sanctions war, the economic war, being able to get through that storm. The U.S. and the West have nothing left. They can't isolate Russia any further lest they try to destabilize those countries that refuse to go along with the sanctions. That's what they are trying to do.